and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Still on the line is Dave.
Evening.
And now joining us, it's Greg.
Hello.
So, we're now going to talk GW results.
Dun, dun, dun.
because they put their annual results out yesterday. Some people of you may be thinking that this is going to be ranty, and it's possible because I don't know what Greg's going to say, but we shall see. But disclaimer up front is that I'm a GW shareholder. So
it is really all about you.
Yeah. It is. This was the chairman talking directly to me. I'm surprised he didn't put "Dear Mike" at the top of the sheet.
Do you ever go to the AGM, Mike?
I don't actually.
All right.
I've held my stock for a long, long time since basically they went public, and I just held it because I was an employee at the time, and so I got it for £1 a share. It's always paid a decent dividend. It's one of the really good things about GW stock is it pays a dividend. Unlike, say, my Apple stock, which never pays a dividend.
Yeah, I think we should probably sort of say this conversation isn't going to talk much about models and toys and stuff.
No, it probably isn't. So I will do my best to keep quiet, and I shall let you two take it away. So why don't you take it away?
Greg, I mean, as much as I've looked at the results and I've looked at the financials, and to be honest, okay, they're down on last year, but I don't think they're that bad, really.
Could be worse. I think the point that is, we're probably going to be, as Mike said, a little bit ranting, a little bit damning, but the point I suppose should preface all of this is that they still actually made money. They were still in profit.
Mm-hmm.
And as a company, they actually have very little to no debt.
Yep. I mean, yeah, looking at that, and when you factor in that they've had some, what they're figuring as exceptional costs this year, they're still ticking over and they're doing pretty good business.
Yeah. But I mean, I suppose the thing you can't get away from is if you factor in those exceptional costs, and my numbers may be wrong here, you're down about 42% in terms of profit, which is pretty substantial when you consider they've released a new edition of their kind of flagship game.
I don't know if that would factor into these figures, though, quite.
I think it just makes it. I think that was the reason it was released in May instead of the usual August window, from my very limited understanding of company finance.
Okay. I mean, that certainly sounds about right. I'm sure about 40%, but yeah. Where are we? The figures.
Look how well prepared we are, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me. Sorry. You see, I said I was going to keep quiet.
Yeah, but you're the one with the money.
Yeah. Right. So the revenue this year, all are in pounds. They did 123.5 million in revenue versus 134.6 in revenue last year. So down 11.1 million pounds. I always ignore the constant currency stuff, though you have to put it in because it makes it look a little bit better. Their pre-exceptional items were 15.4 compared with 20.2, which is only 33%, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's still, it's still 15.4 on revenue of 123 is better than 10% margin.
Mm. Yeah, no,
so not great, but not brilliant. But they did have this exceptional item of 4.5. Their royalties went up to 1.4 from 1, but it's the operating profit is the big drop, because it's down to 12.3 million compared with 21.3 million last year, which is probably around 44 if I work it out. And the earnings per share have halved to 25.2 from 51.5 pence, not millions.
Yeah.
Because that would be lovely. that would be 25.2 million would be lovely, but no
pence.
Yeah. And they're not actually declaring a dividend this year, whereas last year they did 58 pence a share.
Which is, as far as, again, my limited knowledge goes, 58 pence a share is quite good for a dividend.
58% pence per share is an outstanding, especially on a share price that's about 6.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was actually less than, I think it was about £5.4 last year when they declared the dividend. So it was better than a 10% return on your money. Yeah. Try getting that on any bank account.
Yeah, no.
That was, the dividend was very good. But yeah, I mean, the numbers are going a particular way, and the particular way is not great. But as you said, they're still profitable. They're still massive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 123.5 million in revenue is $200 million.
Yeah, it's a substantial number.
That is not a small company.
When we look at the exceptional cost, a lot of that has been in restructuring and investment in quite a lot of new stuff. So they obviously believe they've still got places to go, and obviously they're not going to spend that money if they weren't going to think they're going to reap benefits.
That's actually quite a good segue, because my main kind of rant is around the CEO, the chairman's preamble. Oh my good God.
Yeah.
Because reading that, I got the impression that I'm going to try and find a quote sometime during this, but it was like they were just talking about survival, not about growth. I can't remember seeing anything in there about growth, which, I don't know, as your CEO, surely you're supposed to grow the company.
The whole thing about it, he knows he's not about to be the CEO, and he's known for some time that he's not about to be the CEO.
Well, perhaps, yeah.
So I don't know whether that built into it a bit, but it's certainly it's certainly the most flippant.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the nicest way I could put it, sort of preamble I've ever read to a set of figures. I mean, in some ways that was quite entertaining, but whether that's actually should be in this kind of document, I don't know.
I suppose, my background is engineering. And as part of that, I write a lot of like kind of formal, form reports, formal documentation. And if I handed something like this to my boss for review, he would have my head off. Which I suppose, again, Kirby's a boss, so you can probably get away with it. But I don't know, the whole style of it, I was like, in the back of my mind, I was like, you're the head of like a multi-million-pound company. Like, what are you playing at?
Yeah, I mean, completely out of context, but one sentence that just jumps out to me now is, our crops will wither, our children will die, piteous deaths, and the sun will be swept from the sky. But is it true? Well, you know, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that exact line is the kind of thing that when we're writing reports as like consultants, you'd put, if it was a particularly important piece of work you were doing, you'd put a line like that in there just to make sure whoever you gave it to review was actually read it.
Yeah. And it could be big red lines through it.
Yeah. And then you're okay. But, oh, my God.
Yes. I quickly scanned the figures, thought, yeah, okay. And then actually read it and thought, wow. That's and while they say yes, they're generally a bit more relaxed and laid back than other figures. I think this is, jumped the shark almost.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you really think so, though? I
wonder who it's been written for.
If Steve Jobs had written this, and he's said similar things in the past,
has he said about them formally though, or has he said?
Well, certainly at like the developer conference and stuff.
Yeah, that's not in the annual financial, report to the city, is it?
But. I mean, he would have got away with it. I mean, is Kirby really? Is it just a reaction to a British company doing this sort of thing?
I think
a London Stock Exchange traded company. Well, or is it
as you said while we were off air? Look at the share price is probably the one thing you actually do for reactions to these sort of A, the figures, and B, what's been said. And you said, Mike, that they've had a bit of a fall, but they've climbed again.
Yeah. No. I mean, certainly the. I mean, the highest that the share price was about £8.10.
Yeah.
And then at the last set of figures, when they announced that there was a profit, not a profit, yeah, a profit warning, mm-hmm. It did a cliff dive.
Yeah, it was like 25% in a day or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the graphs, there's just this massive downline.
I'm sure the trading programs that say look for the words profit warning and just apply a factor to a certain extent. Although,
but The stock is up today, and it's not up a small amount. It's up 33 pence, which is 5.5%. And the volume was pretty decent, 16,000 shares. And it's not a heavily traded stock because the majority of people are like me. You know, they're Games Workshop gamers who've got stock at some point because they've thought, oh, it'd be cool to have some Games Workshop stock because I play their stuff. And then they just sit on it. You know, they don't do anything with it. But it's back up to a decent price. I mean, it's been down as low as 470 in the last year, and it's now 625. So it's up £1.50 from the low point it's been. It's still £2 below the high point.
But if you bought shares at that low point, you're looking at an all right profit.
Yeah, you've made you know, a 25% gain.
Yeah.
But I mean, historically, the stock market's down what percentage over time? So they're not bucking that trend at all, are they?
No, the share prices done well. They've obviously the market has obviously reacted well to what they said. I mean, I do think that, you know, you're right. The preamble was interesting, but I think for me, the bits in the preamble that were the most interesting were the bits that are sort of in the most flippant tone, but are actually the most insightful points.
Yeah.
The stuff around where he's talking about everyone's always predicting the death of their business.
Yes.
Now you can go to any Warhammer forum today.
Yeah.
I haven't.
And you can read. I don't anymore, but because I knew we were going to record about this, I went and looked today. You can go to any Warhammer forum today and you can see huge threads of people saying, A, Games Workshop's done. Mm-hmm. B, they could do an infinitely better job.
Yep.
C, this is the solution to all of their problems. And, insert solution here. the amount of people who are qualified to run a multi-million pound company, it's amazing.
I wonder, actually, just as a side note, about how many people are going to write in then.
What, send their letter to say I would like to be CEO?
Well, no, because that's what the latter half of the preamble is, isn't it? It's job
advert. It's
open to everyone. I mean, you know, people do. In fact, it worked. A lad did it with his Football Manager achievements. So that's kind of like a running joke. My own brother's done it for Newcastle United, but one guy actually, it's a random team in Azerbaijan, but he's their manager now, purely off Football Manager achievements. So, you know, all these people complaining, you know, put some of your time in, put your money where your mouth is, so to speak, and see what happens.
But I think the bit where he's talking about the death, you know, everyone predicting the death of the business and talking about 3D printing, and 3D, you know, and more importantly, I think actually the 3D scanning, especially with commercial, with home grade equipment. Basically saying, I'm not worried, and we've done loads of research onto this. I think the other telling bit in it was his bitterness over the legal fight with Chapter House.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've talked to people who still work in GW head office, and they really, really feel that they, even though that they're portrayed as, you know, this big bad thing, they really feel for their intellectual property, and they really feel that these other companies are profiting off their work, and they really don't like it. It's the one thing that irks them massively.
That's unfortunately what happens when you're almost a monopoly.
It does. But I mean, I think there's a lot of venom came through in his preamble about
there's certainly that section, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The bit that stood out for me, actually, was, well, I mean, part of it was a 3D printing thing where it looked like they were going to ignore it, but which, again, coming from an engineering firm, that seems crazy. Like, get on top of new technologies, make them your own.
I don't think he said they ignored it. I think he said he's comfortable where they are for the time being, and when it comes time that they can exploit it, they'll be there exploiting it.
That's a fair enough argument. The other thing was where he said they would recruit for attitude and not for skill. And again, coming from, I suppose, my background, I was like, that's insane. I also, you know, it's kind of a sales floor, retail side of things, perfectly understand that. But I don't know, how do you not want the best people working for you?
I understand what he's trying to say. I think that's just been horrendously badly worded. And okay. I think that maybe a few more pairs of eyes should have seen this document before it went out. I think basically what he's trying to get across there is they say they certainly at the store level, they recruit people that are passionate about the game.
Yep.
And with a one-man store format, you're going to have someone that's passionate about that game to keep it alive in the local environment. Mm-hmm. Certainly with the amount of effort they're going to have to put in there in a one-man store. I hope it works out for them.
Yep, no, and, that's fair enough. So, I mean,
that's what I think he was trying to say. But as you said, if you skim that, you come across with a really bad idea of what he was trying to get across there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
but you could argue that they've always recruited in that way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, certainly, if you look at the games designers that they've hired over the years, for example, I mean, look at the blue chip poster boy, which is Tomas Pyrönen, who was hired, you know, mid-90s, and was hired on the strength of a few articles that he wrote on the internet talking about Warhammer Fantasy Battle Armies at the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, and that was the so there was the passion. He wasn't a games designer. He just wrote stuff about it. And the same, you know, the same with Alessio. Mm-hmm. Alessio became a games designer because he was actually quite a good tournament Warhammer player.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, you look at the Black Library people. A lot of them started out writing the fan stuff that has got picked up.
Or we're designing. I mean, yeah. You know, we did that interview with Gav Thorpe a while back, where he basically said, "Yeah, I was just writing stuff while I was being a games developer, and they gave me a." They said, "Oh, would you like to write this?" Yeah. And I went, "Yeah, all right then." And now he's got what, 25 books or something, including his own series.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I found it interesting. I thought it really came across as a man who is just tired. He's tired of having all the slings thrown at him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because you know, if they read the internet, and I know that they're not overly keen on it, but if they read it, you know, they're Microsoft.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Of gaming, and you know, and PP or Apple. I don't know if PPR Apple, to be honest. PP might be Google, but
yeah,
maybe Google. I don't think there is an Apple in the gaming industry, is there really?
No, there probably isn't actually. Fantasy Flight, maybe. And I think it's just a, you know, I'm tired of all this. I mean, look at the, you know, the Fifth Element jokes that he didn't get to make, but he did make anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really felt like it's a CEO who was having his last broadside at a community everyone. That probably wouldn't in any other way have ever read this document.
No.
So I do wonder
I must admit, I've never read the like preamble for any other kind of gaming company. Well, I don't know how many are publicly owned, which I suppose
there is GW. That's
You see, that's the other thing. The reason is they are the only one.
Yeah.
Your next step up is Hasbro, which is about five times the size. I think they did $1 billion in revenue dollars.
Yeah.
Which is why the jokes about Hasbro buying Games Workshop are always hilarious because they can't afford to. there are no others. All the other companies are privately held,
and they're a long way back from the figures that GW are turning over.
I remember. Well, Wargames Foundry at its heyday, I know for a fact, was a £1 million business.
Mm-hmm.
Almost to the penny, it did £1 million in revenue, and it was the biggest company by miles compared with everybody else.
Massive range of figures, crazy.
Yeah, and they did £1 million in revenue. So I mean, it gives some idea of what the size is. So, but It was fun. So if you want to be CEO,
yeah, send them a letter. Don't send your CV. They don't care about
CV. Don't send a CV. Just send a letter.
Yep.
Apply.
See what happens.
Perhaps I'll send one. Yeah. I'm bored doing what I'm doing now, so
I'm seriously considering it. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Get an interview. Hey.
Exactly. Yeah. Funny enough, yeah, I'm not suited to be CEO. Oh well. Maybe next year.
I'll stop writing on the internet.
No, but to be fair, I mean, I'm not sure you need qualifications to be a football manager, so they control those bigger budgets, so maybe, you know,
why not?
Maybe Sven Goran Eriksson could be the new CEO of Games Workshop.
There's an image.
It can be Jose Mourinho's next gig.
Okay, I'll tell you what, let's do this properly then. So the closing date is, sorry, the ad will be published
after the
7th, 18th.
Yep. Interviews take place November the 7th. So you've got a good 2 months to hone your hone your letter writing skills. Don't take this as a template of what you want to say. I would say as a suggestion if you are going to write in.
kind of
rules us out, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think some sarcasm may just drip through if I wrote something.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. A little chat about the numbers.
And not really ranty.
No, fairly balanced.
It was, to be honest. Well, yeah. So until next time, I've been Mike.
I've been Dave.
I've been Greg.
Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.